Hey, hi, this is Vijay Pravin, founder and CEO of BitCrunch, the blockchain analytics trailblazer transforming digital asset security and insights. You are tuned into the edge of NFT, your analytical navigator in the vast sea of digital treasures. Keep listening.
Hey, Whip the Curious listeners, stay tuned for today's episode to learn how our guest company is described as being the graph protocol of the decentralized world, but for forensics. And why data is king and is becoming the new crude oil. And finally, how following the data can show you a fuller picture on how the market moves. Time to cue the intro for another incredible show.
Welcome to The Edge of NFT, the podcast that brings you the top 1% of Web3 today and what will stand the test of time. We explore the nuts and bolts of the business side and also the human element of how Web3 is changing the way we interact with the things we love. This podcast is for the dreamers, disruptors, and doers who are pumped about this ecosystem and driving where it goes next.
Welcome to The Edge of NFT, the podcast created by Jeff Kelly, Ethan Jenny, and Josh Krieger, featuring a variety of top-notch guests and other hosts like myself, Richard Carthon. It's another production of The Edge of Company, a quickly growing media ecosystem empowering the pioneers of Web3 tech and culture, and responsible for other groundbreaking endeavors like Outer Edge LA Innovation Festival. Today's sponsor episode features Vijay Pravin, who is the visionary founder and CEO of BitCrunch, a pioneering blockchain analytics company dedicated to securing the NFT ecosystem. With over a decade of experience, he has previously collaborated with global giants like Siemens and Volkswagen. An established data scientist, he's celebrated as one of India's top 40 under 40. Vijay is a TEDx speaker and an angel investor who leads BitCrunch with innovative solutions backed by major Web3 VCs like Coinbase Ventures and Animoca Brands. BitCrunch is a leading global data analytics firm revolutionizing the NFT and digital asset sector with its advanced AI-powered blockchain and analytics forensics. Their decentralized data network provides critical multi-chain insights, ensuring robust data management and scalability. Dedicated to enhancing security and transparency in the blockchain space, BitCrunch is celebrated for its innovative solutions, significant contributions, and including PwC's Germany's Best Impact Startup Award. Vijay, how you doing today?
Hey, hi, Richard. Great to see you. As a guest on this pod, I've watched some of your episodes, Edge of NFT episodes, and then great to be on one of the pods. So I'm really good. Thanks a lot. The market is really good, and the bulls are back.
Yes, it is, and yes, they are. Oh my gosh, it's so exciting to see all the progress. At the time of this recording, Bitcoin new all-time highs above 72,000. All-time highs with total market cap. People are excited. And like you said, it's great to have you here. I know you've been listening for a while, and it's good to be able to speak with you today. And, you could have gone in a million different directions with your extensive background in engineering, data science, and so many other things. What sparked your interest in the Web3 and led you to found BitCrunch?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just to roll back the years, I was part of Siemens and Volkswagen, two contrasting companies to Web3 and to tech giants, Web2 giants, I would say, in Web2 space here in Germany. And then being part of such a mammoth organization, I had close to little contact with Web3 back then. So I used to be a retail trader. I used to chip in here and there on Bitcoin and Ethereum back then, and made some money, lost some money, like a similar story of many other retails here. And it was actually the pandemic that changed the complex of my career graph, because during pandemic, especially I live in Munich. So I'm based in Munich, Germany, the city of Oktoberfest, they call. And I live closer to Italy, which was completely shut down during pandemic, right? I mean, Italy was one of the most suffering European countries because of it all started in the EU zone. So since I lived closer to Italy, the border of Italy, in Munich, I had no way to get out, right? I mean, I was locked inside home. At some point, I think we had to just meet one person from another household. So that's like myself meeting my neighbor. Just say hello. That's it. Shut the door. So that time actually made me think. What shall we do beyond Web2, beyond the Siemens and Volkswagen? Yes, I've been doing data for a while, doing analytics, machine learning, and AI for a while. But what next? What else were the questions that popped up in my mind? And that was when the bull happened, right? I mean, the last bull, 2021. And I had a chat with my friends, wanted to dig into blockchain data. And NFTs were really at its peak. That was when famous $69 million NFT got sold. So got into the NFT space, looked into the data, and then now we are moving above and beyond NFTs. Now we are moving into the ERC20 tokens, Solana tokens, and so on. So yeah, great to be revisiting the past. It's been, what, 2.5 to 3 years.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, time is flying. And it's amazing how much like people with traditional, you know, Web2 careers during this time saw the opportunity of what it's like. I want to transition. I want to go over into this direction. I want to see what this is all about. And so as you did that, you started BitsCrunch. And you know, it's an analytics platform it's using the background that you've had to be able to transform data and use it for a lot of amazing things. Yeah. So like, how would you say that BitsCrunch is different from other analytics platforms?
Yep. So just to get it straight, we crunch each and every bits of data. Right, that is BitsCrunch. So if you talk to any data savvy person or an organization, data crunching is one of the most uttered words in the space, right? So we picked up the brand name right from what we are doing, what we do in our day-to-day lives. And if you look at all the other data providers, data platforms, look at chain analysis, one of the biggest inspirations for us to dig into the dark side of NFTs at the beginning. And then there is Elliptic. There was Dune Analytics, who did a fantabulous job in the last bull. Nansen was again another data provider. If you look at all the names that I just dropped, every single player is centralized entity. Chain analysis, Elliptic, Dune, or Nansen, they're all centralized. So nobody knows what's going in, what's coming out, what are the number of customers that they have, what are the number of queries that have been made. So it's a black box, right? I mean, that's the honest opinion. And if you look at things for Vijay's or Richard's, getting access to data has also been an issue over these cycles, right? As a person, how do you get the data? Is it something that you pay a lot of money? Talk to the team, talk to BD, get APIs, get data, spend a lot of time and effort to get that? Or is it something that is easily available? So these were the two complex questions that we started solving. One is data accessibility. Like for Vijay's and Richard's, we wanted to provide data in simplest way possible. So at BitsCrunch today, I'm really proud to say that anyone from anywhere in the world can just connect their wallet and with few clicks, you can actually get the access to the data, access to dashboards, access to APIs. That is one. And cost effective, right? I mean, I'm sure chain analysis might charge 5 digits or 6 digits for data that you might require, right? And no offense to chain analysis, they have been an inspiration for us. But it is the fact that retail customers find it tough to get access to data in without sweating a lot. So that is what we also aimed at the beginning. And I'm really glad to be in such a position now. And we have a lot of customers, both on Web2 and Web3 side. And we recently closed a record sale on CoinList platform, one of the well-known launchpads in the space. And then we launched the token, and now we are live across major exchanges in the market. So yeah, all in all, I'm happy. Thanks.
Yeah, no, that is awesome. And, you know, congrats on all the recent success. And you talked about two really big problems. Just getting access to the data and sifting through everything hard. Second is cost. so expensive if you decide you do want to go in that direction. So by immediately approaching both of those, I can definitely see why this is already a gigantic value add. But, you know, BitCrunch is also referenced, you know, as you said, the chain analysis of decentralized world. And so one of the things that I think is cool is like making the strategic decision to prioritize the decentralization. So I want to lean into that just a little bit more. Why is that important to you as opposed to going through the centralized ways as some of your competitors?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we could have been another chain analysis or could have been another Dune Analytics or Nansen, right? But if you look at both the spectrums, Dune and Nansen, they focus heavily on analytics. What are the on-chain data? What is the volume? What is the trade? What is Dune's and Nansen's playbook? And if you look at the other extreme, chain analysis focuses on what has been the fraud, what has been the dark side of the assets. And we wanted to combine both the spectrum. We wanted one player to come in and say, we have analytics, we have forensics. We wanted to be that one-stop shop, right? We wanted to be that. Yes, it's obviously tough because for on-chain analytics, you require a different skill. For forensics, you require a different set of skill, right? You need to have expertise in AI, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and then computer vision to dig into the dark side of digital asset space. But on the other side, for analytics, yes, you require knowledge here and there, AI and ML, yes, for sure. But then it is required more if you have to do forensics. So if you have to be the police, if you have to be the military, then you have to sort of like pass an additional exam. So we wanted to bring in both the worlds, and that's what I believe pushed BitCrunch forward, and we are now in a much better position than we were during the bear, because during bear, yes, NFTs were brutally down, and then now to see that space evolving, coming up, and then to see Pudgy Penguins Pudgy Penguins getting sold over 2,000 plus Walmart stores is not a joke. Right. So yeah, industry evolves and it keeps changing.
You know, there's another piece to BitCrunch that you just talked about, the forensic side, that I kind of want to lean into a little bit more. So, you know, another way that BitCrunch has been described as being the graph protocol of the decentralized world, but for forensics. So like, how do you describe BitCrunch's AI part analytics differing from the traditional data analytics that are out there?
Yep. I mean, you're spot on here. We never spoke about graph until you let the cat out. So that's exactly what we do, right? I mean, if you look at the decentralized world, not a lot of data players out there in the market. There is graph, there is covalent, there are a couple of data layers here and there. But as torchbearer, yes, graph is right ahead in the journey. And they are into analytics. So they are, again, on-chain analytics. And if you ask whether Graph is also providing forensics, I doubt so at this point in time. And again, that is what we wanted to solve, right? We wanted to be the one-stop shop for everything when it comes to data. And why do we focus on data? Look at Google, look at Meta, Facebook, Instagram, or whatever. Everybody relies heavily on data, right? I mean, people say data is the new oil, right? And every single company uses a lot of data, and they are one of the top companies, multi-million, billion, or trillion-dollar companies, some of them. And that is exactly why we are leaning heavily into data. And when you look at data, it's not about the on-chain analytics. We want to provide more. We want to bring in the AI expertise to predict the price of an asset, to see the reputation score of an asset, and to detect copycats of an asset. So yeah, on the whole, we wanted to be the one-stop shop. I mean, how Alphabet evolved over the years. They started as a Google search engine, and now they own YouTube, they own Maps, whatnot. I mean, Alphabet, A to Z is what comprises Google, right? I mean, Google is one such entity inside Alphabet umbrella. So we wanted to be that in the coming years.
I like it. And, you know, a very quotable thing you just said, like, data is the new oil. how true and how important, and especially as a lot of this data is living now on blockchain, which is transparent, can be accessed, and, you know, being able to make sure that you can go back and access a lot of these things. And as you're saying, like, you know, you're looking to expand and be like an Alphabet where you're continually expanding, your platform is expanding. You added some upcoming chains like Solana, BRC20, and others. And, you know, what ways can developers utilize BizCrunch to build more and secure, reliable, not just NFT applications, but other future applications?
Yep. So today we are live across 4 chains. So we are live across ETH, Polygon, Avalanche, Ethereum, Binance, Polygon, and Avalanche. Yes, we are live across 4 chains. And then we are indexing Solana as we speak. So Solana is almost there. At the end of, we are able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And then BRC20, the often talked about in the last few months, there have been a lot of talk about ordinals and inscriptions. So we are having a close eye on that. And beyond Solana and BRC, we are also closely looking into the ecosystem of Zora, Optimism, Base, and so on. So the NFT-centric chains, even though we are now moving beyond NFT space, we started with NFTs as a core, right? I mean, that's our whole mantra when we started. So obviously, when it comes to NFTs, we are the go-to place, or we will be the go-to place in the coming years. And then we are also moving beyond NFT space now. We are providing historical prices of ERC-20 tokens. We are looking into the scams or the dark side of tokens in general, which is one of the far more interesting things in a decentralized way. Because as far as I know, there are right now no firms working on the dark side of the token space in a decentralized way. Yes, there are chain analysis, as we talked about. There is Elliptic and similar other firms. But then to provide these data in a decentralized manner, I doubt if there is a player in the market right now.
A quick word from our sponsors, who's ready to navigate the cutting edge of tomorrow's legal landscape. Because at Zuber Lawler, they're not just attorneys, they're visionaries. With expertise in emerging technologies like AI, blockchain, and the metaverse, they're paving the way for you to seize the future. For mergers and acquisitions to IP, their selective team delivers strategic solutions tailored to the ever-changing world of technology. Join us at Zuber Lawler, where the future meets the law, at zuberlawler.com. Back to the episode. And it's great to see, you know, you're already, like you said, on 4 chains, about to expand to Solana and potentially BR20 soon. And being able to access all of these different data points, and especially the dark side of things. Unfortunately, there's a lot of scams that still happen in Web3, and there's always going to be nefarious actors out there. And by having a place that you can kind of go and look into this and try to help resolve some of that, I think is also very powerful and a way of being able to utilize BizCrunch and the data within it. Another thing that I think that is cool that BizCrunch is aiming to do is lowering the barrier to entry for a lot of people and bolstering data analytics for emerging companies. You have partnerships and grants programs. Can you just tell us a little bit more about that and how people potentially can become involved?
Mm-hmm. Yes, for a developer, for a techie in the space, we wanted our data to be the go-to data, right? I mean, when we wanted to be the go-to place, one-stop shop for NFT data or digital asset data, we want the low-hanging fruits to use our data, right? When I mean low-hanging fruits, it is obviously the devs, the developers, the techies, the tech nerds, the hackathons, the people who participate in hackathons and so on. And then the startups. Yes, why startups? Because startups, they either lack funding or short in funding. They cannot go out there and spend a few $100,000 just to get the data, right? And then that would obviously dent their chances or dent their runway. So we have a startup program that caters to the needs of startups that have raised less than $2 million. They can come use our data for free at the beginning. And then as they make more and more API calls, that is when they start paying. And same for devs. So let's say Richard, who lives in wherever he is, be it in Canada, in Los Angeles, in Singapore, just with the click of a wallet, and then just with a few steps, we enable Richard to get API within 24 to 48 hours, right? And we want more Richards, more Vijays to get access to data in the simplest way possible. So we have a dev program, we have a developer program, and as well as a startup program. And then obviously we have a community program where if someone wants to contribute to the project in any way, be it socials, be it blogs or whatever.
Yeah, no, that is so cool. And, you know, no matter where you are located, and it's great, you know, being in a remote culture workforce, where no matter where you're located, as long as you have good access to Wi-Fi, now you can get access to this data. You can, if you're a dev, you can go and start getting API pulls, which, you know, a lot of players don't do that. You know, usually if you're coming out the gates and trying to get an API, you're immediately spending money. And so it's awesome that you have a way to onboard and let people start and experience to this, this platform so that they can continue to build and you know, be part of this robust community. But I also want to talk about cool partnerships that you're doing. You had, one of your most recent ones was with MasterCard. And I think it's a really great first step towards the mass adoption and continue to build that out. So, you know, we recently had Michael Clark early in the year on the Edge of AI. And it was really interesting, the take that he had on AI and data analytics. So I'm curious, can you kind of walk us through, like, what are the solutions that you're currently in the process of developing with MasterCard?
So yes, MasterCard partnership has been one of the most talked about in our journey so far in this brief 2 to 3 years of journey, right? And we work with MasterCard team in New York, in the US team, right? So we worked on a POC, proof of concept, where we wanted to provide the security layer for MasterCard transactions. So today, if Vijay or Richard wants to buy an NFT or a digital asset, we rely on marketplaces, and marketplaces, they have MetaMask as an option. They have MoonPay and other on-ramp, off-ramp solutions integrated to it. But in the near future, they might have options like MasterCard, Visa, PayPal, Stripe, and so on. And that is when, let's say if Richard tries to buy a fake NFT, it's like a credit card transaction. So Richard is now living in LA. You're traveling to Munich to meet me for an Oktoberfest event later this year. The moment you swipe your credit card at the airport terminal, you get an alert message, right? Hey, Richard, what's up? Is this you? We feel that this transaction is suspicious. So this is exactly what we aim to do for the NFT space with MasterCard. So we wanted to be the security layer. If someone tries to purchase a fake collection or a fake NFT, how do you know that? Right? There are plenty of bored apes out there. There are n number of scams out there. There is n number of fake Pudgy Penguin collections out there in the market. So how do a layman know if he's buying into the right one or the wrong one? And that is exactly why I call it multiple times that we are like the antivirus softwares of the early days of computer. We are like the checkmark of Twitter. We are like the police of digital assets, right? So we check and provide alerts if someone is getting into the wrong hands, if someone is trying to fall as a prey for someone who is trying to make quick bucks out of the space. So that's where we started. I mean, we had to pass the engagement in between because of the whole NFT market going down. But now that the NFT market is reviving, I mean, we are in constantly touch, in constant touch with MasterCard, and we will get this moving as soon as possible.
Yeah, that is so awesome, and it's needed, right? Like, I would, oh my gosh, that UI process you just described not only would be so helpful for, you know, scam or fraudulent NFT projects, but even coins, right? Like, there have been plenty of coin projects that you're like, oh, I think I have the right address, and then it's not, and then it's nefarious. Yeah. And it's like, are you sure you wanted, like, even just that one extra step to make you think, because, like, man, just make, like, just taking a step a breath, the pause could be so helpful. So I think that is a really cool partnership with MasterCard and working on that. And it's going to save a lot of people and probably could have saved me some headache from the last bull cycle.
Exactly. That's what we aim at, right? I mean, we wanted to safeguard the ecosystem, no matter where you are, what you do, it doesn't matter. Because when the retail is coming, I mean, today we talk about, at this time of recording, Bitcoin has hit ATH, all-time high, right? But people still say that the retail is not here yet. It's all the ETFs and BlackRock's and all these guys moving the needle. But what if the retail comes? And if they get into the space and if they try to buy the fake Shiba Inu coin or the fake Pepe Mian, right, that is when people lose trust. So we aim to bring that trust and transparency into the space, which is what stopped me from entering the space much earlier, right? Because I didn't have the time and energy to dig into the blockchain space back then when I was with Siemens or Volkswagen, because everybody has a job. Everybody runs 40 hours or 60 hours based upon where they live. And it's very hard to say DYOR, right? People always say, do your own research. But trust me, do we all have the time, right? We work 5 days a week. We take a couple of days off for friends and family. And then amidst all the chaos, do you think everyone else will have the time to DYOR on what is the real Pepe coin or the real Bored Ape, right? It's hard. And that is why we need firms like BitScrunch or other similar data players in the market to make people make better investment decisions. So we are here to say what to invest. I mean, most importantly, what not to invest. Hey, look, this is a fake collection. This is a fake token. Don't get into it, right? I mean, right now people have those labelings, EtherScan or be it MetaMask is already throwing a warning error, but I'm not sure if that reached the mass audience. So we need an extra layer where it shows how to invest, how to make better investment decisions.
Yeah, I like that. And like you said, just making it safer and life happens. Luckily, you and I are able to be in this space full time. And a good chunk of our listeners, I'd say, are either full time or aiming to be, but there's another large section that's not, right? And they're learning about this. They're trying to find the opportunities. They're trying to be safe, and being able to know about tools like BitCrunch to keep them safe is very helpful information. So awesome with that. Something else that I think is really cool that you have going on is you created a joint startup accelerator program with Cointelegraph. Can you please tell us more about that and like what kind of infrastructure and tools are provided with it?
Yes, I mean, Cointelegraph needs no introduction, I guess, especially after their intern popped the BitScrunch Bitcoin all-time high a couple of months back, if you remember correctly. Remember it. So they are one of the leading media houses. So we wanted to also nurture similar early stage projects, pre-seed, seed startups, similar to how we started our journey, right? We wanted to support those firms by providing data, right? It's similar to the startup program that we had internally, but then we wanted to reach a global audience. And then obviously Cointelegraph is one such media that has a wide range of coverage. People from the West, people from Europe, people from Asia, they all read Cointelegraph, or they might have heard about Cointelegraph in some or other ways, right? And by working alongside Cointelegraph, we thought we'll reach a lot of startups. And I'm glad that it worked. We partnered with 52 startups in that program, and a lot of startups made good use of the data. They were able to build POCs, alphas, and betas. And then some of them raised capital from that program. So on the whole, I must admit that it was a hit. And we are anticipating another program that follows the version one.
Yeah, I like that. Really awesome. Really cool that you were able to get that partnership going. And I'm sure people listening want to go and check out and learn more about it. But kind of as we wrap up this segment, man, like obviously BitCrunch has a ton going on right now. What are some things coming up in the roadmap that you're able to tease out for us?
So yeah, we launched recently. The token is live, and then obviously for every liquid tokens, you can always expect more and more prominent exchange listings that'll happen as we move along. That is one. And then we are already moving into Solana and BRC ecosystem, as we discussed briefly before. And then moving beyond NFTs, so moving into ERC-20 tokens, moving into Solana tokens, like Jupiter and Parcel and all these frenzy names in recent times. So we wanted to look into the analytics as well as forensic side of the broader ecosystem, broader blockchain data. And I believe we are on the right track with the capital that we raised from CoinList community sale and also the token listing that went really well. So we will move the needle towards where we wanted to be in the next years. And it's already a good start since launch.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'm glad you're already getting some traction. Everyone listening, make sure you go check out BizCrunch. But now it's time to learn a little bit more about Vijay. And we're going to do that with our next segment, which is the Edge Quick Hitters.
Mm-hmm. Yep, looking forward.
And now for a quick word from our sponsor before we dive into the next segment. Are you ready to take your sports predictions to the next level? Look no further than MainCard.io, the fantasy management platform that's taking the blockchain world by storm. With MainCard, every card is a ticket to excitement. You can predict sport outcomes, trade cards in the marketplace, and challenge opponents in thrilling weekly duels. And don't wait. Head to MainCard.io now and start earning rewards with your NFTs, because it pays to be early. And now back to today's episode. Edge Quick Hitters are a fun and quick way to get to know you a little bit better. There are 10 questions and we're looking for a short, single, or few word response, but feel free to expand if you get the urge. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. We'll kick off with our first question, which is, what is the first thing you remember ever purchasing in your life?
Probably a toy somewhere in the same route.
Awesome. Did you have like a particular type of like action figure or any type of thing you would play with?
Probably some collectibles. I mean, that I can relate with NFTs. Probably a sticker or a little toy that comes with multiple collections.
Nice. What is the first thing you ever remember selling in your life?
Oh, selling. Okay. Probably probably a book or something of that sorts. I don't recollect properly, but yeah, that is something that is in my mind.
Yeah, no, that'll work. I remember one of my first things I sold was chocolate bars for like fundraisers for little games and stuff I did. So hey, books, you got those too, man. Like they do well. So what is the most recent thing you've purchased?
A recent thing, obviously NFTs. Being in this space, I keep collecting good digital collectibles. Yes.
Yes. Awesome. Lots of good ones out there, and especially with all the excitement coming back, I'm sure there's going to be even more on the horizon. But what is the most recent thing you've sold?
A token, which I don't want to name at this point in time, but then yeah, it depends, right? I mean, obviously coming out of the beer, I wanted to get some liquidity, so yeah.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I too am making sure I get liquid with all this fun that's going on right now, so I can understand that. What would you consider your most prized possession?
My daughter, who is 2.5 years old. I mean, if it can be a thing, then yeah, I might have to think. But my little one is my lucky charm. After she was born, BizCrunch went on to the next level.
That's awesome. Well, love that. Can definitely understand that. If you could buy anything in the world, digital, physical, service, experience, that is currently for sale and money was not a problem, what would it be?
I mean, beyond physical or digital items, I would just go pick the brains of some of the valuable people in the world. I mean, look at if I get a few minutes to sit and talk with, let's say people like Elon Musk or Warren Buffett, that is what I would pay for. I would pay for such an entry just to sit right next to them and pick their brains on how they were able to be consistent and be in such a position, and to keep consistently clocking what they were doing, right? I mean, that is what I believe has made them to be in such a position right now.
I like that. You know, going for the knowledge. So like there's a debate on social media a while back of like, you know, talk to a superstar, take $1 million. And it sounds like you would probably go with the option of getting that knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Awesome. If you could pass on one of your personality traits to the next generation, what would it be?
Mm-hmm. It's never give up attitude. And I would say, to go out there and dare to do things, right? I mean, I come from a very humble background from India, and to come from there to set footprints here in Munich and to become an entrepreneur, which has now raised over $12 million and then launched tokens across multiple tier one, tier two exchanges. I would say I've come a long way. So I would say people do not look at the background or the history of where they came from. Rather, just go with the flow and sky's the limit. Just keep going.
I love it. Great story and great testament. Congrats on that raise. That is a very hard thing to do, everyone listening. Especially, I mean, there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there. And for you non-people that have never raised money, that is a hard feat. So congratulations on that. And of course, the resilience and the not limiting yourself or having the fear to go and step out, I think is another really good one. So appreciate you sharing that. On the flip side, if you could eliminate one of your personality traits for the next generation, what would it be?
Probably procrastinating too early. I mean, I was looking to jump into the entrepreneurial jungle. But then I took a while to step into it. Probably that's something that I would go correct myself if I get a chance to roll back to the early days of BitScrunch or early days of my career. So I would suggest people to just go out there and express themselves no matter what they do and where they are.
Yeah, I like that. Procrastination is a hard one. I think a lot of people do it in a lot of different ways. And sometimes just getting out of your own way or just taking that first step can really get the momentum going. So I think that's a really good reminder. What did you do just before joining us on the podcast?
Oh, I just had dinner. I am based in Munich. So for me, it was 8:30 before the pod. So I just had a quick bite before the pod.
Nice. And what will you be doing after the podcast?
I mean, obvious. I'll go hit the bed because it's already 10, about to hit 10:30. So yeah, probably another few more minutes in the day, then I call it quits.
All right. I will definitely appreciate it. And we always like to wrap up with a nice bonus question. And, you know, I don't get to talk to data guys all the time, but when I do, I'm always curious. So, if data can tell you a really good story, what's one of the best like stories you have from like problem solving with like, there's this problem going on in the company or somewhere and like no one can really figure it out, but then you like dissect the data and you figure it out, right? Like what's one of those stories that like immediately comes to mind for you?
I mean, surprisingly, a lot of manipulation can be spotted at the back end, right? When media goes frenzy about some of the token sales or some of the NFT sales out there, and we ourselves can see what is the real side of it, because we have the data. We could see, we could map things, we could map between wallets, and sometimes that was like, hey, shit, the whole world is talking the flip side of it, but then this should be the actual story. But then, yes, to set the footprints and to get this going, we probably need a few more years to set our footprints and to be a thought leader, to be a market leader in space. But yeah, time will come if you're long-term players.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're playing the long-term, and it's wild how much things happen in the background to stimulate some different growth and other things. But hey, the being able to follow the data, you can get a lot of information and be able to act quickly. So I think you're in a powerful space, and another reason why I think everyone should be able to go and check out what BitchCrunch has going on. But Vijay, we always like to wrap up with shout outs. This is the moment for you to recognize or call out people who, you know, don't necessarily get all the praise that they deserve, but you definitely never forget. And so we would like to, you know, give you this moment to be able to shout out anyone that you would like to.
NFTLA returns as an inclusive week of community events throughout LA, celebrating the outer edge of innovation.
Builders be building.
There's so much energy colliding around gaming, AI, generative art, the metaverse, decentralized social, and the future of entertainment.
If you want to be in the mix, including the official free NFTLA celebration, visit outeredge.live to subscribe for your updates and RSVP.
Yeah, I mean, there have been so many business angels, friends, and families who have helped me in this journey. I would like to thank Ganesh Swamy, who is the CEO of Covalent Network. He has been the guiding torch, guiding light for BitCrunch. And I would like to thank David Post. He was previously with Chainlink when we partnered with them. And then Joel John, who is now heading decentralized.co. So yeah, and I can keep going. But then yeah, these three people are so close to my heart in this journey.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure they will greatly appreciate that. And we thank you for acknowledging them. But of course, for everyone that's been listening to this, is super excited, wants to learn more, wants to do the next steps. Where do our listeners go to learn more about you and everything happening over at BitCrunch?
Yeah, my biggest strength is LinkedIn. I mean, unfortunately, LinkedIn is not the Web3 source, but nevertheless, people can follow me on LinkedIn. Vijay Praveen Maharajan is my name on LinkedIn. And I've surprisingly, I've been followed by more than 54,000 people there. So yeah,
that's great.
Be my guest there. And then obviously Twitter, it's Vijay Praveen, the name that you see here with an M for Maharajan, my dad's name, on Twitter. Or if you want to follow BitCrunch, it's just BitCrunch on Twitter. And then we have a channel on Telegram and Discord if you want a chat room to know more about what we do. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Awesome. Well, you heard it here from Vijay, everyone. Make sure you go and check them out. We've now reached the outer limit at the edge of NFT for today. Thanks for exploring with us. We've got space for more adventures on this starship, so invite your friends and recruit some cool strangers. That will make this journey all so much better. How, if you're listening, go to Spotify or iTunes right now, rate us and say something awesome. Or if you're watching this on Spotify on YouTube, hit the subscribe button and pass this episode on to a friend or two. Lastly, be sure to tune into the next time on the show for more great Web3 content. Thanks again for sharing this time with us today.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Richard. It's been a pleasure for me. Thanks for having me. And kudos to the team, entire team of Edge of NFT.
The views and opinions expressed on Edge of NFT reflect solely those views and opinions of the show hosts and its guests. Please make sure to do your own research. Our show is not financial advice. You understand that you are using any and all information available on or through this podcast at your own risk. Whenever making financial decisions, we recommend doing your own research and talking to your accountant for financial advice. From time to time, we may feature sponsored content on the show for which we receive value, and we may share links for which we receive a commission if you make a purchase through one of those links. Refer to our website, www.edgeofnft.com, for our full disclaimer, terms and conditions, and privacy policy.